This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with your hosts, Captain Mickey Eastman and Captain Benny Hatton. Presented by Hook's Bit Performance Rods. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years. Captain Benny is a licensed Coast Guard captain. Now, here they are together, your hosts, Captain Mickey and Captain Benny.
Good morning. Welcome back to the third and final hour of the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman.
And I'm Captain Benny Hatton.
Our producer.
Boudreaux is still here.
That's
Give us
it.
A call. 713-572-4610.
That's us. Bring it. We're actually caught up. We have all lines available right now on a chilly Sunday morning in the Bayou City. A little bit of a temperature shock.
Yeah, shock to me. I tell you, that cold weather and me don't get along anymore.
It happens. It's why all those older folks, they call snowbirds, move down to
Florida.
They become winter Texans and winter Floridians.
Yep.
When winter shows up, can't blame them.
My son rubbed it in yesterday. He sent me a picture of him sitting on a deck of his house yesterday in Florida, which said it's 75 over here.
Bet it's not today.
I bet it's not either. He says, well, it's drop a little bit, but not anywhere near what we're getting.
We're going to warm right back up.
Yeah.
I think Tuesday it's going to get real warm, but pretty good chance of rain comes back with it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Just what we need, a little more rain.
A little more rain, man.
Boy, I saw some photos from Sam Rayburn yesterday. Good Lord.
They in a pinch up there.
It was showing a guy driving over the 147 bridge. It goes across the lake. The waves were so huge from that norther, they were breaking over the bridge.
Yeah, I saw that.
Same thing on 190 at Livingston.
Mm-hmm.
There at Kickapoo Creek. The lakes are full.
A lot of water.
All right, let's go to David on one, shall we? David, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all doing?
We couldn't do good.
I just listened to y'all on my way home from work in the mornings. So, it is pretty chilly working a night shift.
What's the temperature on your truck?
37.
Yeah, that's pretty chilly.
But no, I was calling because I was listening last weekend, and you had this really excited guy calling about they were bill fishing down in Mexico or something.
Yeah, that's Cameron Blog, yeah.
Yeah, I was curious how he did. You know, I didn't hear anything else about it because I was working.
I think
night.
They tied for sixth.
He was pretty excited about it. I found it interesting, him talking about it.
Well, they just couldn't. They only caught one marlin. But if they could have caught one or two more marlin, they'd have been right there, man.
Yeah.
And that's all you can ask for. You got to get the bites and you got to see the fish. And it just didn't go their way, but they still caught a lot of fish. I think they caught 20 something sailfish. That's pretty good. One marlin.
Yeah. I had an opportunity to go offshore fishing a few times, but I haven't been in years. I really miss it. I need to go again. But anyway, that's all I was calling. Find out about how your friend did.
Yeah, he did real good. And this is the first leg of it. It's at Triple Crown Los Sueños, and they got two more tournaments. So they're right there in points. They're right up in the thick of things, and it can turn around so fast. You know, you get two or three good bites in a row, and you land all of them, and it can change everything real quick. And I'm trying to bring it up here where I can tell you what exactly they did. It They got off to a good start on the first day. It was a three-day leg. Let's see. They finished with 2,800 points. So they were actually, they'd be tied for sixth because Uno Mas and Family and Friends finished fifth and sixth at 2,900. Yeah, so that's not bad. You make the top 10 out of this. These are 50 of the best boats in the world, you know, competing to get, you know, against one another. So,
and these guys, they do that for a living. They don't have a rig.
That's what they do. That's what they do.
That sounds pretty good.
And Cameron, you know, he's the guy that leadered the state record blue marlin in Texas. I think it was 976 pounds or whatever, almost 1,000 pounds. That's a giant, man. That is a beast. They all know what they're doing. They're the best of the best.
Well, you got to know what you're doing to be able to afford to do that. So.
Well, that's right. You better, if you don't know what you're doing, you better have a pocket full of money.
Yeah. Man, I tell you, them boats, man, just, I wouldn't even want to put the fuel in one of them.
I know. Everybody goes, boy, that's going to cost a lot to fill that boat up. I said, well, you don't realize if he's got enough money to buy that boat, he's got plenty of money for fuel. I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went fishing with a friend of mine. His dad had a big yacht. And I'd been with some other buddies that we all chipped in money and bought gas. Well, this guy said, well, do I need to give you some money for some, you know, fuel? And he's like, don't even ask about that because he can't afford it.
Yep.
But anyway, thanks for taking my call. Y'all have a good day.
Okay, David. Take care, man.
All right.
All right. All right, next on line two, we have Jeff. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Good morning, captains. How y'all doing this morning?
Couldn't be better, man. What's up?
Calling up there to the captain's quarters up there. Have y'all seen this moon out here? It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Giant.
Yeah, and it's not even full yet. It's 97%. Tonight it'll be 100%, and then it'll be a blood moon.
It's crazy. Hey, I was talking to a buddy the other day regarding the five trout and the upper coast. I hadn't checked up on that, but is there what's the story with that? Is that something that they're looking at doing, or that's going to work?
That's all going to come down. You know, they'll have their commissioners meeting. You know, I thought they'd had it sooner than now, but I think they're going to have a where the commissioners meet and they hash all this out and decide whether to have the scoping meetings and, you know, go through all the changes, whether it's trout limit changes or other changes that need to be made in the state as far as hunting and fishing regulations. And then they'll set dates if they decide they want to vote on it and hear, get the people's input. Well, then they'll schedule the scoping meetings, and that's when everybody needs to be present to voice their opinion on what they think they should do to better the fishery or leave it alone or what have you, you know.
Well, I know it's a sticky subject, but it sure has done well down there in South Texas where.
Well, sure it has.
I mean, it's been amazing.
How can it hurt? You're harvesting half the fish. And,
right.
You know, there was a time here in Galveston we didn't need to do that. That's why they didn't change it. Our numbers were sustainable. Our nursery fish, all of our juveniles coming up through the ranks were good. You know, the creel surveys were excellent. But when you put four floods in a row on Galveston Bay and stack all these fish up in the same areas every year at the same time with the amount of pressure that we put on those fish and the amount of fish that were just obliterated. And I mean, they were obliterated. I watched it with my own eyes. And it took its toll on it. And that's the only complaint I've got. You know, we were sending emails and everybody was talking about it. You know, they can shut the fishing down for freezes, but they can't for situations like that. We weren't asking them to shut it down. We were just asking them to have emergency limit reduction, something, you know, catch and release or whatever. I mean, I can't tell you how many millions of pounds of trout hit the cleaning tables in that 3-year period.
It was nasty.
It was just nasty. You know, you had guys laying 600 and 700 trout in boat ramps with all of them sitting down behind it, posing with them. And, you know, it was just gaudy. It was terrible.
That's brutal. I mean, you can roll up and, you know, on any shoreline down in South Texas and hammer some, you know, some giants, and then you're, I mean, you've taken the broodstock away. And so I'm all for it. I'm just hoping that that goes down. And I was just curious of what y'all thought. And hopefully that's something that passes and gets through.
Well, I think it will. It's time. I mean, it's right. Time.
Right. Well, gents, I appreciate your time. Let's just hope that goes through, and y'all have a good week.
Well, Jeff, appreciate the call. Thanks for bringing that up. It's a good subject. A lot of people like to dodge it and walk around it and don't want to, you know, it's kind of like kicking that can down the road or, you know, that dog dookie on the sidewalk. Nobody wants to pick it up. They just want to walk around it and pretend it's not there. But it's something that needs to be addressed.
For sure.
And everybody's got different opinions, you know, and everybody's an expert. Everybody's a field biologist and all that. Just if you don't believe me, just ask them. They'll tell you what they know about trout. But I've been around a long time. I've seen a lot go down, and this should have never happened this way.
Roger. Well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Take care.
All right. Yeah. What are you looking?
Yeah,
we just sit here looking at each other.
Yeah,
well,
what do you say, man? I mean,
the damage is done.
It's done.
I mean, there's no sense in crying over spilled milk because the milk's already, you know, it's spilled.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda, and it is what it is. And if everybody likes Galveston as a nursery bay, and that's what we've become.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, have at it. Enjoy yourself. If you want to catch 10, kill them all. Keep your 10. That's your prerogative, as long as the law says it is. But there's just nothing like catching quality fish. I mean, I don't fish to eat, and especially the way these fish taste out of Galveston anymore. I had no idea the difference until I went to Matagorda and I kept two fish. We caught and released all day. I kept two eaters and brought them home, and I could not believe the difference in the taste of those fish versus here.
Mm. They were good.
No comparison.
Huh?
Yeah. Mm. So.
All that silt they sucking down, it's got to affect him.
That and all the fallout from Harvey and.
Yep.
People don't have.
What's that old saying? You are what you eat.
Yeah.
Well, that applies to animals too.
Well, I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
It does. That's how they get polluted, is eating the bait fish that have been living in that cesspool.
Yep.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
More of the Outdoor Show continues now, presented by Hook's Bit Performance Rods on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 619 in the Bayou City. All right, let's get back to our phone lines. Let's go to Steve on 1. Steve, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show. What's up?
First of all, Captain Benny taught me my captain's license, and I really appreciate it.
Cool.
And I want to ask him how his fishing with his wife has been going.
How what?
How your fishing with your wife has been going. She likes to fish with you, doesn't she?
Non-existent.
Okay, I'm just
teasing. I must have told you that story.
Oh, yeah, you did. And my wife was with me, and she got a little chuckle out of it because I can't keep my wife off the boat. She loves to fish. Number 2, I just bought a new rifle. I took delivery of it. I'm having a scope put on it, so I don't have it. And I'm not a Weatherby salesman, but I do love Weatherby guns.
Me
it's
and you both.
Oh, golly, they make a fine rifle. But it's a 6.5 Creedmoor. I've never had one before, and that's why I bought the gun, is I just kept saying, here, 6.5 Creedmoor, 6.5 Creedmoor, on. And I bought the thing, and I went and picked it up after the FFL got it, and I can't believe what a beautiful gun it is, how easy to handle. I mean, just super. And I've got CZ 550, CZ or whatever. But that gun, and I said, what's the deal? I read up on it. 12 women designed it.
Yeah.
I mean, they know how to put a gun together. The women do.
Yeah, as long as they don't get mad at you while they're holding one of them, everything's good. Well, just a joke.
Mickey, I understand. My wife is left eye dominant.
Yeah.
Okay. And I took her to the pistol range one time, and she couldn't hit the broadside of the bar. And I said, okay, put your finger up. Now, look here.
And you checked her eye, and that's how you found out.
Uh-huh. And I had a Sig Sauer C5 45. I said, all right, let's try shooting this again. She put 15 right through dead center.
Yeah.
And the range master goes, don't cheat on her.
Don't cheat on her, huh?
But anyway, so that's what I'm up to. I'm getting ready to go to Puerto Rico in a minute here. It's too friggin' cold here. And then when we get back, we're going to New Zealand to shoot Red Stag.
Oh, man, you lucky dog. That's awesome. Red Stag. What a majestic animal.
Oh, they're beauties. And I don't like the ones with the paddles. You know what I'm talking about?
No, with the like the elk rack and everything. Yeah, I don't like that pal mated crap either.
Yeah, yeah. And then we get back from there and go back to South Africa.
Man, you need any help? You taking applications? Man.
She's standing right here.
Yeah, I heard that. I got you. Your wife's into it too, huh?
I mean, and maybe she'll let you go.
Man, that sounds exciting to me, man, especially a red stag. Golly, those are just, I would rather shoot one of those than an elk. They're just awesome animals.
Well, have you heard them call? Have you heard the bull call?
Oh, yeah. That is, it's unique.
Well, the people told me, they said, make sure and go at this time of year when they're, you know, they're doing, they're breeding, they're doing their thing.
Yeah.
Because the bull puts out an awesome call. I could recreate it, but I'm not going to do it here.
Oh, come on. You're on the outdoor show. Nobody's listening.
My wife is in the other room now, but anyway. But it's just awesome.
Wow.
Man. Somebody's got to do it.
That's it. That Weatherby 6.5 Creedmoor, did you get the 6.5 300 mag or just the straight 6.5 Creedmoor?
It's a 6.5.
Okay. That's a hot little potato there. A lot of people love that caliber.
I told Wendy, I said, I know you're left-eyed, but I think right-eyed, I'm putting a Trigicon 4x16x50 scope on it.
Yeah.
I said, I think you can be able to shoot this. Just let's put some tape on your left eye, and then I think you can shoot it without any problem.
Oh, she'll be all right. She can shoot it offhand the other way with her left eye, and she just, you know, it's just the bolt on the wrong side for a left-hander.
Uh-huh.
My brother shot a right-handed shotgun, Browning shotgun.
Like that his whole life.
Left-handed all his life.
Yeah, that's the way Blaine shoots. Mm-hmm. He's a southpaw, but he's right eye dominant.
Yep.
Or left eye dominant. He's a right hander, but he's left eye dominant.
Left eye dominant.
He shoots left handed. And
really?
Yeah. Mm. Kind of like remembering Saving Private Ryan. That guy was left eye dominant, that sniper that played that part in there, and he would just reach across the top of the gun and bolt it with his left hand and keep shooting.
Really?
He was pretty good at it too. Who was it? Barry Pepper? Is that the actor's name? Yeah, I think it's Barry Pepper played that part.
Mm.
He could shoot it. Them Germans didn't like him up in that bell tower. I'll tell you that. He was taking them out, man.
Well, they didn't call Chris Kyle the white devil for nothing.
I heard that. That guy was, man. And he shot over, what did he mostly shoot, a 300 mag? Wind mag?
Well, I think we talked about it one time. And he liked a 308 to about 500 yards, a 300 wind mag to 500 to 1,000, and then Lapua.
338, yeah.
Yep.
Is that what he made that long shot when he finally got that bad guy, that terrorist?
I'm sure it was the Lapua 338.
Yeah, that sniper that had been killing all of our troops.
And I think I told you this too. The best shooter he ever saw was a guy from London or from, you know, England. And he said he shot two at 2 miles. And I think that's what he was using with Lapua. He said the guy that was helping him, the coordinator, whatever you call him, said, okay, here they are.
Oh, and a spotter?
Spotter. And they have to have them because they write them down.
Oh, yeah.
You know. He said he shot one. He let the bullet go. He slid over. This is an English fella. And shot again. He said the guys are still talking. And the first guy hit. And then the second guy goes, what the heck's going on? And he gets hit.
Yeah. That's one of those deals. You'll never hear the shot. You're dead before you'll ever hear it because you're so far away.
I think that's the way I'd like it if it was me.
Oh, yeah. Never know what's coming. Just get it over with.
Yeah. And I just bought another little piece of equipment. It's a TNT, I think. It's a thermal scope. And I'm putting on a CZ550 300 Win Mag.
Mm-hmm.
And the things they say in the box, I can't believe they're selling to individuals. It's the thermal image is good 850 meters for a human being. Okay.
Jeez.
And the gun is certified at, about a 3-inch diameter ring at 600 yards.
3-inch group at 600.
Uh-huh. Mm. And, I think I can shoot that good, but I'm not so sure. But
I see it at Blaine's all the time. These guys show up and, with these really fine weapons and all, and they still couldn't hit a bull in the butt with a bass pedal with it. They just, they'll get there, they'll get out there on the range and it'll be dialed in. I said, yeah, you're on, man. No way you can miss with that. And then a buck will walk out and, buddy, they start trembling and they catch nothing but air. They don't even cut a hair on those deer.
Well, one of the funniest hunting stories I've ever heard, this guy we're going back to Namibia with, him and his wife, they're just wonderful people. They had some Russians come down, some oligarchs. You know what oligarchs are? I mean, the big, big rich, all right? So they're out hunting, and he said they're driving around. And he said none of them hit the broadside of a barn. And what happens when you go to Africa is you can only check a sheet. I want this. I want that. It's like a menu. And then they have the price on it. And donkeys are like rats over there, okay?
All right.
They want them gone. And so they pull up about a couple hundred yards from a pure white donkey. And the Russian says, probably Spanish, says, how much for the beautiful white animal? Berta says, 10 grand.
10 grand for something they won't shot.
Exactly. He said this oligarch pulls up his 300 Win Mag, and Anyway, he shoots it right through the heart. Drops it dead. And Berta says, well, what do you want to do with it? And he says, to the taxidermist, man.
he was going to mount that white donkey.
The whole thing.
Wow. Plus he had to pay $10,000 for it.
For something they wanted, you know, 50 yeah. bucks to get rid of.
Yeah. Yeah, if he had waited to ask, he could have got that donkey for free.
Well, he said, and Bertus is not a BSer. He said they were out playing cards, and he looked over, and they had $1.5 million U.S. dollars in cash on the poker table. Mm-mm-mm-mm. You know, when people have that kind of money, they just don't, you know, they don't know.
No.
But
don't
I
don't care.
He said, when he shot that white donkey, I'm a good freak.
Well.
So anyway.
All right. Well, I got to run, well, Steve. I'm already on a break. Appreciate the entertainment, man. I always enjoy talking to you.
Well, I try.
Hey, do your hunts, man. Call me back. I want to hear all about them, man.
And I will send you some pictures.
Yeah.
I go to New Zealand, and I just talked to the people yesterday. I said, no paddle things, blah, blah, blah. And the younger guy came and said, you just shoot all you want.
Wow.
I went, yeah, right. On my checkbook in a can.
Yeah. Bring your checkbook, but you can shoot all you want.
Yeah. All right, guys. Good evening.
All right, Steve.
Good day. See you, Steve.
We're going to do it. Take care, man.
All right. Bye.
All right.
More of the Outdoor Show continues now, presented by Hook's Bit Performance Rods on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 638 in Bayou City. Coming back with a little lead in the last segment, especially for the guy that's hanging on. You know, we did Stevie Ray for James, did a little lead for Craig. Let's go down to G-Town, talk to Craig, see what's up. And Craig, how you doing?
Hey, man. How y'all?
We're good. What's up, man?
I'm trying to get better. I've been sick, man.
I know, man. You got down like a big dog. You had to go to the emergency room, didn't you?
Well, I had to go to urgent care.
Well, but, that's emergency room. That's close enough.
Dude, I'm sure glad I didn't go down there to Blaine's because that would have been bad. That's been terrible.
Yeah, it's hard to go down and have a good time at a place like that. And when you're that sick, it just takes it out of you.
I probably had to be on to Laredo or something to a clinic.
Yeah.
But anyway, man, there's always something stopping me from going down there. What was it, that 1 year of tornado? We were in Dallas. And we got caught up in that big tornado up there.
I remember that. Y'all went up there get the girls and got in the middle of all that mess. Man, that was some really nasty, nasty weather.
Yeah, that was crazy. But, yeah, man, I've been on the mend since Christmas, and I'm still on the edge, bud. I'm still on the edge of this stuff. I'm still trying to get in the pool and swim a little bit, but it's just some nasty stuff. I tell you, it really is. But I'm feeling better and got more energy and trying to make it, man. Trying to make it.
I know that stuff I got. I don't know, what was it, about a month or so ago, you know, where I had it real bad in my head. And yeah.
That's how mine started out, but it went down in my chest.
Yeah, I've got – mine kind of went down there, but I got rid of it before it got bad in my chest. But now I kind of have a little bit of, you know, a little congestion every once in a while. I'll feel it in there and a cough every now and then. But nothing like what had happened to you and a lot of my other friends that, you know, it went down in their chest and it just nuked them.
I mean, hey, it knocked them down. In probably 20 years or more. It's like, I cannot believe this is happening. So, anyway.
A lot of germs in the air.
It's the way it goes. Benny, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine, Craig. Sound like I'm doing better than you.
Sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You made it through the boat show and everything.
So far.
Well, the crowds weren't big enough to get everybody sick out there this year, from what I understand.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I probably picked up something from UTMB. Who knows, man?
Well, that's if you want to get sick, go hang out at a hospital.
Exactly.
Or a school.
Yeah.
Hospital or school are just as bad.
No, daycare centers are the worst. Cruise ships and daycare centers, I think, are probably the biggest German carrying
facilities ever.
Cruise ship, hey, you'll find out how good a health you're in. You can make it through a whole cruise and get off and not have a sniffle, you're doing good.
Hey, you see where they're going to make Galveston a port of call for all the cruise lines?
Yeah, I saw where they renewed for another 10 years. Port of Houston, too. So,
well, people will be from other cruise lines will be stopping in here on their way to other destinations.
Right.
This will be a port of call. And, man, this place is going to be so busy. We have so many tourists here now. It's just going to be nuts. A lot of business.
Welcome to G-Town.
Galveston, I mean, all the old industry areas along Harborside, I think that's just all going to be gold. It's going to turn into gold. Parking, I mean, it's crazy.
Man.
It's something else, man. I tell you. We ain't got any water in the bay, so I don't know what I'm going to do today. I may go pick up some oysters.
Well, today's the day to do it. They ought to be high and dry, man. You'll be able to find all the pig ears you want today.
Should be easy pickings.
That's what we used to call them, big old tall ones, man, pig ears.
Right. Those are the ones that you had to feel for to get to when there's water. So, yeah, these will be easy to get. It's what you want.
Fresh.
Yeah, I'm going to watch some football today and probably cook some ribs. Got some gumbo left over from yesterday. So
today would be a good day to fire a big pit up, get it good and hot, and get you a sack of oysters.
Smoke your oysters.
And dump them out on your deck and rinse them down good and then throw them on that pit. And
heck yeah.
As soon as they spit, pull them off and then shuck them open and eat them right out of the shell.
Put a little hot sauce on them, man.
And then chase it down with an ice cold beer behind it.
Got that right. Sounds like a game plan.
Seeing you can stay warm huddled around that pit and cooking those oysters.
Oh, heck yeah, man.
Boy, it all just goes together.
Kitty's got a smile on her face right now.
I saw a funny meme on Facebook last night with this cold weather hitting Louisiana. Said there was a gumbo warning out in Louisiana for today and tomorrow.
I bet.
Gumbo warning.
Nothing better.
My wife, I kind of wanted some of that, but I didn't have all the stuff to do it with. And she made a taco soup last night. That was pretty good.
Taco soup.
Well, yeah.
Kitty makes that.
Yeah, and made it with good old Belleville ground venison deer meat, you know.
Ooh.
Oh, that was good.
That sounds good. Yeah, she makes a taco soup every once in a while. It's pretty darn good. Real good.
Taco soup.
My wife made a shrimp stew this week.
Shrimp stew, huh?
Shrimp stew, yeah.
Is that thick? A thick stew with shrimp in it,
it's sort of, you know, whenever you do your roux for your gumbo and you stop it with hot water, with this you stop it with tomato paste.
Okay.
And then put it in your, you know, just like you do gumbo.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I'll tell you what, it was good. When it gets cold like this, I'd rather have over gumbo is Mexican shrimp soup.
Never even heard of that, man.
I've never heard of that either. Well, Mexican.
It's a lot of work, and it, man, if you make it right, oh, goodness gracious.
I bet you've got some cilantro up in there, huh?
Yeah, it's got the peppers, everything, and it's a good friend of mine, her brother, Raul, makes it, and it's to die for. The only place I've had it better than that is down in Cancun in the old part of town. You got to leave your resort area, and you got to wander off down there, take a bus, and go down there. It's a little restaurant down there called Isla Cantoy, and they got the best shrimp soup in the world.
Mm.
Shrimp Diablo, baby.
Shrimp Diablo.
Oh, yeah, and they got their conch and their octopus. Everything there is good. you go with about six people, and you just they just cover the whole table with every kind of fresh seafood, you know.
I've never had conch.
Oh, man, it's all good. And they'll have, you know, ceviche, and they lay it out, and then they bring you those little Cokes in a glass bottle to drink with your meal. Oh, man.
Yeah, that sounds real good.
Those Cokes are made with real sugar, too, kind of like the Dr. Peppers. Hey, the real sugar Dr. Pepper, hey, the heck with that fructose stuff, that corn
syrup.
Well,
like we used to get when we were kids.
When we were kids. Yeah. Like my grandma drank till she was 94 years old. She loved the real sugar Dr. Peppers, 10, 2, and 4.
I remember whenever we were kids, they had the short Cokes in the bottle, and then you had to come out with the long Cokes in the bottle. The short Cokes are always better.
Yeah, the little 6.5-ounce ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they give you in Mexico.
Real thick bottle.
Oh, yeah. You can Nolan Ryan somebody with one of those bottles.
Sure could, huh? Sure could. Well, anyway, man, we hope y'all have a happy, fun Sunday, and
we're gonna do
enjoy
it, man.
Football.
I'm gonna go home and grab me a quick nap and get up and probably figure out what I'm gonna cook today, and I'm gonna have a football hangover tomorrow.
Looks like a pretty day coming up, man.
Yeah, it is. Sun's gonna be out. It's gonna get in the 50s. It'll be all right.
Needs to warm up.
It's doable. Ain't no water in the bay anyway. Everybody needs to just. Pull them Saints through in that first game today.
There you go. There you go.
I want them to win so bad they're probably going to lose.
Well, they have a pretty good chance. I think they'll take it.
Well,
every
time
game.
I get my hopes up, bad things happen. But I'm going to look at the positive side of it. I'm feeling positive.
Feeling positive, huh?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to be positive.
All right, brother.
All right, man. We'll talk to you
see
later.
See you, Craig.
See you, Craig.
Later, man. All right. All right, let's go to Bill is next on one. Bill, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show. What's up?
Yeah, Happy New Year, guys.
Same to you.
I'm up this early in the morning. Oh, my God. Well, I had to get up under the blankets anyway and go to work. But anyway, you were talking about sodas. I'll talk about I never caught sheephead in my life, but sarsaparilla soda was one of the best ones growing up. I don't know if that you remember that sarsaparilla? It had some sort of a... You didn't like a black cherry vanilla taste to it.
Yeah, I remember when I'd go up to my Uncle Bill's up in Magnolia, Arkansas, that's what everybody drank up there was those sarsaparilla sodas.
Exactly. And we had them up in New York, too, growing up and stuff like that. And I came down here. There's a place out in, I think, Rosenberg that's kind of a diner, really country, kind of way, way out there. I don't know if you've ever been there or heard of it.
No.
And we went there. It's right by the railroad track, so for one of the street, 4th Street, whatever it was, and I think somewhere in time, Donna, I don't work for them or anything. That my son and I drove there. Oh, it was fantastic! Picture of Babe Ruth and all the old fashioned bottles.
Oh yeah, got all that old memorabilia and everything in there.
Exactly. But anyway, for 69 years old, finally, I've been here in Texas 73, left New York in 69, enlisted in the Army and Vietnam, the whole package, and I caught. The first time it took me this many years to catch a sheephead. And I thought it was a black drum when I brought it out until I heard it go, bang. I said, oh, it's a sheephead. My son told me it was a sheephead. I had no clue. And we just hit a honey hole over there by the Galveston Chip Channel over where the Seawall Park and the Del Monte plant. Oh, okay. Undead shrimp. And we just hit, my son and I caught five between us.
Yeah.
It was, and we never have caught them before. I don't know what happened. I don't know. Just
you need
right
to go to
the
Galveston jetties in the spring if you've never caught sheephead. They'll eat every live shrimp you got you throw out there along them rocks. Some sheephead they're nasty. There's millions of them.
I didn't realize that.
And,
fishing that place. But anyway, we caught some black drum over there for, you know, keepers.
Yeah.
Which is good. You know, like
puppy drum.
20. Yeah, and of course, my son broke my record. I told you, he had used to have the record for the largest rat red in the family, and he broke it. He asked me up. So he's got the redfish. I got the black drum. He's got the redfish. And, you know, he brought in one, I think, a couple of years ago, a 55-inch, 53-pound kingfish.
That's a good one.
And, yeah, and he used a live sand trout. And I remember we were talking about that, I think, some time ago. It was not a speckled trout.
No.
No, we're not going to.
No, it's against the law to use a speck.
It was also reef fish too. Is that right? Reef fish and stuff like that, or is it like you can't use
red snapper? No, it's a if it's a game fish, a sport game fish, you can't use it for bait. That's right.
Okay, but anyway, so I was listening to some, and while I was listening to the guy talk about rifles and stuff like this, I was in Vietnam. I told you, and what they called me Deadeye in basic training. In fact, the weather in southern in Georgia versus New York weather is 40 degrees in the morning. So we got our field jackets on. Later on in the day, it warms up to about 80. This is September 5th, and I wasn't used to it, and a lot of us people from up north weren't used to it. And I'll take our field jackets off. Either they stay on all day, or you tough it out in the morning. Well, we toughed it out in the morning. So it was quite an experience. But I was putting two targets down with one bullet. And I have good hand-eye coordination, good depth perception. I said, well, okay, so the further out, the gravity brings it down a little bit. So I shot at a certain place, the first target. The guy says, you need another shot. I don't need another shot. There's two targets. No, it's not two targets. There's zero. Look. And they called me Deadeye because I didn't miss. And then when I was in Vietnam, when we rode on the deuce and a half on missions, they would they always put me shotgun. Everybody else be in the back of the truck. So,
yeah, everybody anyway, else in the back hunkered down. You're up there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, scared. Oh, scared is an understatement.
Oh,
but anyway, so anyway, the sheephead, they were quite an interesting fish to catch. But I don't. But my son said the way that the stripes were, it looked like a black drum coming when I brought it up. Or when I started seeing it towards the surface.
They're similar until, you know, they get up close and you can see the spines on the fins, how finny they are, and versus a drum and the configuration.
And then the mouth.
And then the mouth, sheep teeth. Looks just like a sheep's mouth. That's why they call them sheep's head.
Yeah, so anyway, so it felt kind of good to catch, I'm catching stuff that I never, it was a bad fish. No.
It was bad fishing.
But anyway, I really appreciate the show, and I'm glad, I'm waiting for my store to open right now, so I just thought I'd give you guys a call and stuff like this, and look forward to another good year. Red Snapper got reservation for June 14th again.
Yeah.
And this is our 21st year fishing with Galveston Party Boats. My son was only 8. He couldn't even reel in a snapper. That's how small he was. And
he was going, though, man.
Yeah,
you had him out there.
Yeah, but the thing was, he was hooking them. And I thought, he caught 9. My friend and I, who's now deceased, a lawyer friend of mine, and we caught 8 between us. I said, that's beginner's luck. That was beginner's skill. He was hooking them, but he couldn't. But then once he got older, so little by little, I told the owner, I said, Mike, he couldn't even grow. I said, he couldn't drink beer or anything like this. And the owner said, yeah, he couldn't even grow a beard either.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we look forward to another good red snapper. I don't know if they're going to how long the season is. They usually say they don't know till like May or something like that.
It all depends on the catch shares, the allotment, all that.
Yeah. I know that.
All right.
Well, listen, thanks a lot, guys, and we'll be listening to you again.
All right,
okay?
Bill. Thanks for the call.
Thank you,
man. Have a great Sunday.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right, Benny.
That's it, man.
Buddy. That's all she wrote. Boudreaux, we'll be seeing you next Thursday, man.
Amen.
And
next Saturday, man.
Amen.
Everybody enjoy your NFL Sunday today.
You going to cook on a bit today?
I might.
You might.
Depends on what my better half has in store for me today.
Mm.
First thing on the agenda is making home alive and pop a nap. All right. Well, folks, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next Thursday morning here bright and early at 4 a.m. at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.